Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRE Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRE Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRE staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
Well, we are finally rounding out our sequence on optimizing our LinkedIn profiles. And so today we're going to be talking about all the other stuff, because there's a lot of profile elements that you can add to your profile that aren't the core that can really make you shine. It can better tell your story. It can attract both the bots and the humans, and it can just really just make you more competitive than the other individuals that are trying to win the same roles that you are. So we're going to dig into each of these today. And from an angle, I think the biggest thing too is if you think about your about section, of course, we've talked a lot about that. And if you guys that are listening haven't heard or the podcast on the about section, go back and look at it. But the one area that I want to talk about first is your featured section. And if you haven't already added your featured section in any of these sections, you guys, if you want to add any of these sections or you want to explore the other sections that are out there, if you go to your LinkedIn profile and underneath your face, and there's like the contact and the message and all of that, there should be add a profile section or add a new section there. You can add it. I would add a feature section, because the feature section is what a lot of people are calling the trailer to your about and to everything else. And a lot of the recruiters are going to be looking at that feature section because you can show proof there. So for example, if you have like case studies or portfolios or specific things that you want to highlight there, you could put that into your feature section. They call it the proof of impact gallery. And I would only have like 3 to 6 items. I know for a long time I was using my featured sections for things that I had just published. But I think that whenever you put too much in there, it just becomes junk. And so really you just want to put a couple things. Some people use it to put their resume there. I don't see anything wrong with that. Some people will put things like if they had a recent publication or presentation, like they spoke at the ACRP or they spoke at Save Our Sites or they spoke at something like that, then they might put something there. But it's curated items that you would put there that really speak to who you are, what you can do, and what you represent. So highly recommend the featured sections. And so just some basic things that you could think about if you're considering whether or not to put something in your featured section is, what is one featured item that instantly tells your audience, this is why I need to talk to this person, right? So it really needs to highlight you and the problem that you solve and why they should be interested in you.
All right. I love it. I think all of these sections today that we're going to talk about, they're all things that people feel like they're just extras. They're just bonuses. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done enough. I've done my headline. I've done my about. I've put my experience, and all this other stuff is just not as important. So I'm not going to bother. But right. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about why you should bother if you want to be attracting people to your profile. So thanks, Angela, mm-hmm. for that one. Which section's next? Let's dive in.
Well, I mean, I love the extras because it's kind of like if you're imagining putting on an outfit to wear to an interview, I think the extras are like the accessories, and the accessories make or break. Like, can sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I feel really confident or good when I wear this necklace or this, you know, whatever. And like,
can you tell we're a team of all women?
Yeah, you know, the right purse makes or breaks the day sometimes. And I love it. I stand by that. I like one of the things that I think people are the accessories on LinkedIn that people are a little bit more gun shy about is recommendations, because it's a kind of in that same realm of asking for a reference. It's like, oh, I don't want to bug them. I don't want to bother them. But reference or recommendations are just so powerful, because when someone comes to your LinkedIn profile, it's like, ooh, there's like a review on this person. When you go to Amazon and you buy a purse, are you looking at what the product details are, or are you going to go to the reviews and be like, oh, I love this purse. Oh, this purse fell apart in 2 weeks. You know, you are now the purse, and we want you to be the high-end, lovingly made, detailed-oriented purse that everyone leaves amazing reviews on. And these are your recommendations. And it can be super intimidating asking for one. But it can be really, really simple too. It doesn't have to be hard. Like the first thing you do is when you reach out, you want to warm it up a little bit because, you know, if especially it's a manager or a director or someone, it's like, hey, remember when we worked on that great project together? Hey, I've been wanting to reach out and connect. I've been thinking when we worked on that oncology trial together and I helped solve problem X, or we worked through problem X together. Then you're going to go into why you're asking them specifically. So maybe they saw a skill or a moment that you want them to talk about, or maybe you also value their expertise. Like, oh, this person is really knowledgeable about this oncology trial, and I would love for their recommendation because it holds a lot of authority. It holds a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So something like, I'm currently building out my LinkedIn profile and I'd be honored if you'd be open to writing me a recommendation. I thought of you specifically because you saw firsthand, and then whatever they witnessed, a skill, a result, a moment. And then if they agree, give them the details. Tell them what the project was, what actions you feel you demonstrated that helped. Recommendations have more weight when they're specific, but also it helps jog the person's memory a little bit. It's like, because who knows how many projects they're on? Who knows where you are in career paths at this point? So just giving that little bit of information, but you also give them an out. It's like, hey, I'm providing this, but feel free to use. If you have something else you want to talk about or something else you think would be a more impactful recommendation, ignore what I've said. And of course, there's absolutely no pressure or obligation if it's not a good time right now, because some people have busy schedules and this is just one more thing on their plate. And then always end with a thank you. Like, thanks so much either way, whether you leave the recommendation or not, I really enjoyed working with you. So it's like you break it down. It's not as intimidating as you think it might be. Who you want to ask is also really important. You want to ask managers, like I said, because you want to talk about growth and reliability and results. You want to talk about peers because you can go ask peers because they can speak to collaboration and what it's like working with you when the chips are down or up, mm-hmm. either or. And then one of the bigger ones is clients too. And these ones can be even like slightly more like, ooh, do I want to ask my client? But they are third party and they speak to how you solved their problem, how you served, and how you were there with them, working for them and with them. And that can have so much weight. And then the best time to ask is right after a successful project or timeline or time milestone. Like, oh, we just finished this amazing oncology trial. Like, let's do it now when it's fresh. If you wait too long or you wait till you're in the job search, it feels a little transactional, like gimme. So you want to, again, it's kind of like a thank you note. Recommendations, they're more powerful when they're immediate. And then what makes a very powerful recommendation? You want to be, like we said earlier, a specific story, a tangible outcome, and a clear relationship. This was my manager. This was what we were working on. This was the outcome. If all your recommendations say pleasure to work with or great team player, congratulations, you've just described a golden retriever. So like, let's elevate, you know, and then, or like the other really generic ones, like I would highly recommend blank for any role. And I'm like, really? Any role? A clinic, a doctor, a heart surgeon, an air traffic controller? Any role? You want to be a little bit more specific. You want to give like, hey, this is their niche. And then as an example too, sometimes they are short, but they're also really impactful. I saw a recommendation last week that said, I've managed 40 people, 40 plus people in my career. She's in the top five. And I was like, oh, you are. I was like, if someone did that to me, I'd be blushing and I'd be like, oh my gosh, stop. You like me. This is so good. Like the warm and fuzzies. It's really nice to have that moment.
What great advice. And I think the key to all of that is tell them what to say. Like you said, I mean, tell them this is what we worked on, remind them and give them the words to say. It makes it easier for them too, doesn't it? They don't have to go think about, okay, well, what did this person do? And what did they, you know, so I love this.
And I think offerings to give someone a recommendation saying, hey, could you give me one? But I'll be happy to give you one as well. Yep. Just a great manager to work for, was always supportive, collaborative. So that helps.
It does. I think, yeah, and LinkedIn by default, when you give a recommendation, it will ask once you accept it onto, because you have to accept it onto your profile. If someone gives you a recommendation, you then have to go out and read it and accept it for it to land on your profile. And by default, LinkedIn will ask if you want to give them one. But be careful, because if it looks like the recommendations were reciprocal, like there was an agreement between the two of you guys that you were going to do it, then people might start getting a little suspicious, especially if you see a bunch of those. But there are ways for you to hide the recommendations you have given other people on your profile. So, like, for example, if you go to my profile, you're not going to see any recommendations that I've given to other people. If you go to their profile, you'll see the recommendations that I've given to them. I can see the recommendations I've given to them, but you wouldn't be able to go to my given tab and see the recommendations that I've given. And a lot of that is because they've given me one and I've given them one, not because there was an agreement per se, but because we had a great working relationship and we accomplished a lot during the project. And of course, we've got great things to say about each other, but it kind of helps to keep that suspicious mind from looking too much and, okay, is this now real? Because, you know, Angela gave Maya one, Maya gave her one. There's a love fest going on there, and I don't believe a word they say, right? So, yeah. So just kind of be careful a little bit about that, too.
I think also education, certifications, licenses, that is all very important. It's funny because there has been times where I'm like, going through LinkedIn profiles or through our profiles in our system. And then I go in LinkedIn and to see if they have a LinkedIn profile because I don't have much info, see what's up to date on their profile. And their education is not clear. And sometimes clients have those education requirements. They require a certain type of degree, accredited college or university, and having that information is so important. It's showing the foundation of how it all started. And maybe your degree is not in clinical research or not so much clinical research, but like a science or biology or pre-med, but it's important to have that information up and up, like up to date, clear dates, degree, and not only like dates, but like when you obtained the degree, the year, the degree itself, is it a Bachelor of Science? Is it a Bachelor of Arts? And what type of degree? Is it in biology? Is it in arts? You know, fine
chemistry
arts, whatever,
or whatever.
Anything, yeah. It's so important to have that information because you'd be so surprised how many times that is not clear. And it's like, do they have the degree that this client may be looking for? So having that is very, very important, I would say. And then the certifications and licenses. We actually had a situation where recently we had someone that was not clear with their certification. And then once it's not clear, you dig in deeper on their certifications and the information they have listed on their resume. And then it just starts questioning and you're like, well, do they have it? Well, how long did they really have it? Well, they're saying this at the top of the resume, but if we're looking at the resume a little bit further, it's showing a completely different story. So again, it's important to put that up on your LinkedIn just because it shows hiring managers and recruiters that you're continually doing education and training to improve yourself as a clinical research professional, but be clear about it. I don't want to be like a nag, like be clear, but you got to be clear with that information because there are, and I would say more so now where clients are very, I don't want to say particular, but they do look at that and they will ask us for like, hey, we need additional information.
Mm-hmm. So. It is an employer driven market for
it
sure.
Is.
And the gal that you were talking about that we just dealt with that, you know, you're right. You know, she said in one place that she had 10 years of such and such, and then her resume had that sprinkled throughout, but there was nowhere on her resume or on her LinkedIn profile that showed where she got the certification. I would say that, so first of all, and maybe you said this, but I just want to make sure to the point of us definitely being a hammer against a nail here, because this is so important. Go, you guys, if you have certifications, go to your profile, click the add section button, and add your certifications and licenses under the certification and license section. Do not mix it in with your education, because then it not only muddies the water with your education, but people will miss it. People will miss your education and people will miss the certification. Separate them. They are separate things. Your certifications and licenses should be in their own category. Even if, especially if it's industry related, even if those certifications have expired, still add them. Just be clear as to when they expired. And only put them on there if they're relevant. When I worked and lived IBM, I had Microsoft certifications out the yang, right? None of those certifications are on my profile now because they have absolutely nothing to do with me today. But my project management certification is, because that still is relevant, even though it's expired, right? So, I mean, so those are the types of things that I think you need to be careful. And the only other word of caution I would throw out there is LinkedIn by default will represent that your degrees are completed unless you were very clear that they were not. And you don't want to accidentally mislead people into the you having completed a master's or a bachelor's when you haven't completed it. You want to take credit for the coursework that you've done, but you want to make sure that you're very clear that if you didn't complete the degree, that you are articulating that, and you have to make it a point to do that on LinkedIn because it will by default accidentally lie for you. So you want to make sure that
you're
clear.
People are accidentally lying on their resumes with that too. It's very frustrating. Clarity is very important. Mm-hmm. No. We've actually even had the certification this week too. Took me, I think, 2 to 3 days to submit someone because they were not clear on their certification dates. Which then made their employment not clear because they were putting that they were certified during those times.
I agree because, I mean, in her case, she said she had 10 years of a certain certification, but then her title showed, 18 years? And I'm like, okay, I can't submit. I can't. We can't do this because we've got to be able to very clearly tell the story. And you're right, Carrie. I think by the time we actually got the clarification, they were already interviewing other candidates. And so it's hard on you as a job seeker because it delays your submission. And I will tell you right now, a lot of recruiting agencies would have just dropped her like a hot potato and moved on. We worked with her until we got the right answer, but she didn't win an interview because they were already interviewing other people. So it's a shame.
Yes, I'm removing my babysitting certificate from LinkedIn now.
Right as
from when I was 12, I was like, yeah, babysitting certificate, never mind.
Well, that's a good point, Maya, because that's something I wanted to talk about is the skills section.
Stay tuned for part 2, where we continue the conversation about optimizing your extra sections on LinkedIn.